Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Okay, you can give it to me straight. I know you're missing the man for whom this show is named. And while Todd may be far from the microphone, on this particular Friday, why, he is as close as your computer, the eponymously named website, toddstarnes.com. And it must be great minds think alike. Because as I was perusing the headlines, and then I checked electronically with my pal Todd, well, it looked like the stories were aligning themselves along, well, the same type of priority. And so it will be today. If you want to supplement the audio, again, just go to the website, toddstarnes.com. Oh, and let's see, what's the most... Gee, you know, when you host a national show, you really shouldn't use a kind of hackneyed old approach to broadcasting, but I can't help it. It's the deal where a guy's talking along and then almost as an afterthought, me, I'm the recovering congressman J.D. Hayworth. Now, I got that trite tripe out of my system, almost. And as this Friday continues across America, memorial services at the Capitol for the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. For his part, President Trump paid his respects yesterday. Remember the coffin bearing the remains of the Associate Justice was on the steps of the Supreme Court. And the President and the First Lady went by, and if you were expecting reverence, well, then you don't know the American left. Just going to give you an audio snapshot for about 12 seconds of how the president was treated yesterday at what should have been a solemn occasion. Cut one. Now, the apologists for the left in the press, but I repeat my, not even apologists, the lefties in the press were saying, oh, they were saying, vote him out. It doesn't sound that way to me. It sounds like they are saying, throw him out. Could we recycle that just a second? Listen closely. All right, look, let me just confess. You know, the years are passing. My audio acuity, maybe from wearing headphones and doing radio or whatever else this life has brought me, maybe I'm missing it. I think it could go either way. As for the president himself, the reporters on the Hill, at the Hill, that's one of the congressional publications covering all of Washington. The headline, Trump, we could hardly hear the boos or chanting at the Supreme Court. So that just drives the left even nuttier. And the White House press secretary, Kayleigh McEnany, just offered a brief rejoinder because the reporters were saying, hey, what'd you think of what they said about the president when he went over to pay his respects? Cut two.
I think the chants were appalling, but certainly to be expected when you're in the heart of the swamp. I travel with the president.
Yeah, she travels with the president so she can compare and contrast the response of those physically on the swamp. You know, the late, great Jennifer Dunn, with whom I served in Congress, Republican member from the Seattle, Washington area. Jen had this great name for Washington, D.C. She called it the world's only work-free drug zone. Think about it. What was that Jack Kennedy said? Washington, D.C., a city of southern efficiency and northern charm. So Washington's Washington. And quite frankly, there's no need to be surprised at the left. They've done lots worse, but it just kind of fits with them. What is shocking, remember William Randolph Hearst had this definition of news. If a dog bites a man, that's not news. But if a man bites a dog, now that's news. And we're not talking that culinary delight that you and I know as hot dogs. And so it was, and Todd touched on it when he called in yesterday. And now the story has gone viral, and you may have had a chance to see all of this. But very, very curious, in Moscow, Idaho, or should we say Moscow? I guess we say Moscow, Russia. So we'll say Moscow, Idaho. A couple of days ago, Christ Church, which does these, now this is a tough thing to say, flash psalm sings, where members of the church assemble in different locations around town. They had chosen a parking lot, had the members of Christ Church 2 days ago, had chosen a parking lot downtown across from City Hall, because in their simple and oft times understated way, believers were having a big problem with the edicts that have come out of the City Hall in Moscow. That's Moscow, Idaho, not Moscow, Russia, y'all. And it seems that that the mayor in Moscow, Idaho, and the city council, gosh, was this back in July? Yeah, I think right after Independence Day, the city council and mayor say, chuck your independence. Chuck your independence and submit to wearing the masks. And then this past week, the mayor and council, in their wisdom, decided that the masks, they were going to extend the submit to the mask rule clear on through to the first week of January of next year. So concurrently, the fine folks from Christ Church decided to go downtown and have a psalm sing. And the city, I'm sure at taxpayer expense, sent the maintenance crew out to set out little circles for social distancing. Kind of like when you'd see the shot from the Democrat convention at the Wilmington, Delaware hall where there were no delegates but faithful fellow travelers in the press there to chronicle poor old Joe Biden coming out to do his speech. And you remember they have those circles? Well, much the same thing was going on in Moscow, Idaho, not Russia. And folks are singing, but then as we used to say in North Carolina, here come the police. Yeah, it shows you differences. Louisville, Kentucky, there's nothing funny about what was going on in the streets, especially 2 nights ago, where a couple of cops were shot by a BLM protester. We believe they picked up the guy. So with our system of jurisprudence, the alleged shooter is believed affiliated with Black Lives Matter. But out in the West, in a place like Moscow, Idaho, BLM stands for Bureau of Land Management. So anyway, here come the law enforcement officers of the Moscow police. And what you're about to hear as the as the impromptu choir of probably between 200 and 300 people are singing Amazing Grace. Two police officers, a man and a woman, step up to two of the singers, a man and a woman. And against the backdrop of Amazing Grace, the police decide that these two have to go, that these two are violating the mask policy. And so you will hear that going on as one of their friends is shooting the video with his phone. So let's listen now to cut three.
So the lady
law enforcement officer is not being rude. I just need you to back up. Well, here's the thing. The guy complied. He backed up. But the people in Moscow, Idaho, are fed up. And I bet you, I know there should be no wagering on the Todd Starn show, but since you've got a recovering congressman behind the mic today, I would bet you dimes to donuts that most of the Moscow police force isn't really keen on this mask ordinance, but they're there to enforce it. So they arrest that lady and gentleman amongst the singers, and then we have footage of, as I've read in some reports, that he's an elder at Christ Church. I know for a fact that he's a Republican candidate for the county commission there in Lata. I think that's the way. Maybe it's Lata County, Idaho. A guy by the name of Gabriel Wrench. And apparently Gabe's presence threw a monkey wrench in this whole thing, because even though the police knew him, when they asked for his identification, he politely refused. So then the Moscow police are walking him off, escorting him out. And as they are doing it, of course, everybody with cameras follows. One of his friends says something, I guess, contrasting with what happened in Louisville the night before. I want to say this line for you because I'm not sure of the audio quality, but one of his companions says, "Didn't see this happen with BLM, Gabe." Let's take a listen to cut four.
Didn't see this happen with BLM, Gabe.
It's unbelievable.
Isn't that weird?
Hey, just give us a little space, will you, please?
Yeah, just give us a little space. You guys should not be doing this. And doing this kind of crap for the mayor, this is embarrassing. You guys are stronger than this.
You're more shouldn't be doing this.
Your name, sir, please?
You guys are tough people.
This is wrong.
This is wrong, you hear one bystander say. That's absolutely right. Now, there is so much more to this story. You might be saying, okay, what's the big deal? I mean, you know, my dad worked for the Japanese and would visit over that island nation on occasion like four decades ago. And he talked about, hey, the Japanese, they keep going to work. They got a cold or whatever. They wear a little surgical mask. So you might want to just think about this. Is it really public health? Or now has it become submission, submit, submit, no matter, the mask must stay on your face? When we come back, some interesting figures from Moscow, Idaho, and that county in terms of those who have had COVID and the fatality rates. And then why this is a big deal. Oh, and your calls, too. 844-747-8868, 844-747-8868. In fact, also coming up, if he's still with us, he's called in, it's our good friend who is our like unofficial Todd Starnes reporter, Gene the Superfan, to give us a quick take on what happened last night in Jacksonville, Florida at that Trump rally. So all that's ahead. It's J.D. Hayworth for Todd Starnes on the eponymously named Todd Starnes Show.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
(844) 747-8868. That is the number to call. Todd Starnes Show. Special guest host and a legend in my own mind, the recovering Congressman J.D. Hayworth here. And you're lining up to talk about this this whole thing that went down in Moscow, Idaho. And before the break, I basically posed the question that the hip, non-tie-wearing anchorman at Channel 7 Boise posed to Gabe Wrench. Gabe Wrench, who is an elder at Christ Church, who was taken into custody by the Moscow Police Department at the Psalms Sing 2 days ago downtown. Basically, the question that the anchor, and of course, Idaho being Idaho, hey, just play the devil's advocate, even though I'm with it, and hey, what's the big deal? Or a question to that effect. Here is the way Gabe Wrench, candidate for the county commission, who happens to be a Republican, running as a challenger. Boy, talk about free media. He got it the other day, but this is why non-mask-wearing Gabe Wrench says this is a big deal. Cut five.
There's no brakes on their system. They tell you to wear a mask. Well, what's stopping you? For the sake of the health of the community, we have a health emergency here. You need to have a vaccine. And the problem is, it's just bad government. It's bad resolution. It's bad politics. It's bad laws all the way around. And we need to be able to make the connection between it's just a mask and taking away our massive civil liberties of my right to worship on in a parking lot on Wednesday afternoon.
We have the First Amendment. And even with public health, try this on for size. There in Moscow County, Idaho, there have been a total of 318 cases of World War flu, the China virus. Oh, and if you want to be politically correct, COVID-19. Do you know how many fatalities? Thankfully, none. The only thing that's been sacrificed is common sense. You hang in here with me. You're lining up to talk about this. And we've got more outrageous conduct from across the country in the name of political correctness and public health. It's J.D. Hayworth for Todd Starnes on the Todd Starnes Show. It is the Todd Starnes Show for a Friday. Recovering Congressman J.D. Hayworth in for Todd. And you on the phone at 844-747-8868. So, Moscow, Idaho, arresting not Black Lives Matter rioters, but Christians singing psalms in a parking lot marked off for their accommodation, but hauled in for not wearing masks. A public health edict of the city put in place Monday, July 6th of this year, and the mayor and city council have voted to extend it until January of 2021, and countywide, Moscow and its environs there in Idaho, 300-plus World War flu cases, China virus cases, zero fatalities. Well, there may be one fatality, the death of Common Sense. To the phones we go from Chattanooga. Mike leads us off. Hi, Mike.
Congressman, thank you for taking my call, and thank you for your service.
Thank you, sir.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
This may be a shock to you, but as a conservative patriot, I believe all municipal corporation police departments need to be abolished and consumed by the sheriff's department.
Well, okay, and now there's the big difference. There's the big difference because you see, Mike, and I just want to make sure we amplify this, right? You want to see municipal police departments disbanded, but the power that exists and is even enumerated in our federal constitution, you want to see law enforcement power reside with the respective sheriffs in the respective counties and parishes.
Absolutely, because the sheriff is elected. The founders would be rolling over right now in their graves. This is this week's of America 1775. Where the king sent out edicts and his men, a standing army would enforce those basically illegal edicts. And that's what's happening now. Most of these cities are run by liberal mayors, and I've said it forever. The sheriff is the highest law enforcement officer. He has to respond to us and protect our individual rights. Even the Supreme Court ruled that municipal corporation police have no obligation to protect your rights. It's their job to enforce ordinance. They're not even allowed to enforce statute. So, yes, in areas where the sheriff controls, there is law and order, and I believe justice.
Well, you know, and I would weigh in again with this caveat. I saw it in real life. Remember my last couple of terms in Congress when I was raising HE double hockey sticks about illegal aliens? And by the way, that is the correct term, illegal aliens. They're not immigrants because they didn't come here lawfully, and they're not laborers. And what happened out, in fact, where I'm from whence I do this program today, out west, Maricopa County, Arizona, it was former Sheriff Joe Arpaio who stood up and said, we're going to enforce immigration law, while the Phoenix Police Department and the Mesa PD, who had this guy, George Gascon. You know what happened to George Gascon? He left Mesa as police chief, got his legal license, passed the bar in California, became like the county attorney for San Francisco County, and now the mayor of L.A. is bringing him into L.A. to go ahead and make sure that L.A. basically becomes a third world city. But Joe Arpaio is right, and you are right, too, to this degree, Mike. It may be an argument about federalism, and I don't want to get into angels dancing on the head of a pin, but should a community or a sovereign state commission law enforcement past the sheriff's level, still the nature of our society is that they may do so. But I hear what you're saying, Mike, and I thank you very much for the call. I'll let you finish. Take last word. Last word.
Well, I was going to say, the state police, I believe, exist as a proper law enforcement agency because the state police is actually the organized militia. It's not – everyone thinks it's the National Guard, and my legal theory is it isn't because the organized militia comes under the jurisdiction of the governor, not the president, National Guard.
And you know where we can find modern – well, kind of modern quantification for that? If you ever saw the old TV show Highway Patrol with Broderick Crawford,
oh, sure.
they do the intro, and maybe our great staff can find it on YouTube, The Open. In some states they're called the Highway Patrol. In some states, the state militia. And that's exactly right. You make a lot of good points. And I want to tell
you,
Mike, you've got us.
I appreciate you.
Well, bless you, Mike. You've got us chugging along, calling in from Chattanooga, and I do appreciate that. Now, what Mike said about electing sheriffs and having accountable folks is true, but this is also true about what's going on in Moscow, Idaho. an elected mayor and an elected council decided to go with this mask ordinance. And as you might expect, this comes from the realm of consider the source. This source, Northwest Public Broadcasting, your PBS and NPR affiliates. You know, isn't it interesting how public broadcasting, it's like we're here to invite narcolepsy and through our muted tones, our contempt for all things conservative. Oh, won't you please give? The folks at NPR in the Northwest put out this article back in July. The disease does not give this following concession to a family-oriented show on commercial radio. This disease does not give a darn. Moscow, Idaho mayor looks beyond politics to require masks. And in its own understated style, the article continues. Moscow Mayor Bill Lambert has some news for people who don't like to wear masks.
Well, none of us like to wear a mask. I don't particularly like to wear a mask, but I have for the past 2 months, and I will in the future because I think that's an easy thing for us to do.
After Alata County's case count doubled from 8 to 16 in about a week, Lambert made mask wearing mandatory for the college town that's home to the University of Idaho.
Full stop. That explains it.
And if I sound a little perturbed, just to be candid with you, I don't want to go all Donald Trump on you. And by that, I mean spend a lot of time going after those who may not agree with me politically. But all I know is my political future, in retrospect, was essentially doomed when the lines were redrawn in Arizona and the properly named Jeff Flake was given the East Valley Mesa in that area, and yours truly got stuck with Tempe. This is even when the late great Democrat Ed Pastore said, hey, I'd like to have the lines redrawn so I could have Tempe. A little bit of fratricide in the Arizona Republican delegation. No, let's give it to J.D. And sure enough, by '06, I finished second. I still have trouble with that L word. By the way, I searched in vain for a political affiliation for Mayor Bill Lambert. But like so many cities, our elections are nonpartisan, just like NPR coverage is nonpartisan. Well, that's another thing. Inevitably, when I would be in a race for Congress, the NPR announcers in Arizona would talk, or the national shows who would come in to do something, the congressman's opponent, a thoughtful, quiet man, stands in stark contrast to the bombastic conservative Hayworth. Now, bombastic and conservative basically be the same term. I mean, but that's NPR, and really, you know, and that's the other thing. You remember the tagline they were giving us every time it's time for the begathon? Oh, I'm sorry. Whatever they call it, the appeal for funds when you're watching PBS, made possible by viewers like you. And when Trump, and before that, when I first went to Congress and we were casting a critical eye at the amount of taxpayer funds that were going to PBS and NPR, well, a few years ago, PBS, especially, I guess it was concurrent with Trump's election, if PBS won't do it, who will? Oh, it's a real simple answer politically. CBS, NBC, ABC, TBS, and MSNBC for starters, at least politically. So they got that going on. But you see, the culture of NPR broadcasting is like the culture of a college town, and it's thoughtful to make people submit to wearing masks even when there have been no fatalities from what is politically correctly, though I think inaccurately defined as COVID-19. Pardon the lapse into incorrect grammar, but ain't that kind of funny? In a sad, sad way. Tell you what, we've got some folks coming up. We have got a report. Gene the Superfan is going to join us, tell us about last night in Jacksonville with the Prez, and you're going to tell us where we're headed with political debates and public health at 844-747-8868. For Todd Starnes, it's J.D. Hayworth on the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Coast to coast, border to border, the Todd Starnes Show continues with special guest host and a guy who's trying to work on that humility thing, the recovering Congressman J.D. Hayworth. Our number is always 844-747-8868, and a man who obviously is not running for office because he keeps his promises. Checking in on the aforementioned line, why, it's our friend, Gene the Superfan. Gene, welcome back to the program.
Good afternoon, America. How are you doing, J.D.? Let me tell you this much about the rally real quick. We're going to win in a landslide, and it's going to be unbelievable. J.D., there was probably 25,000 to 30,000 people there yesterday. The place was electrifying. And it was amazing to listen to our greatest president in the history of America, that it was just out of control, sir.
And we see why we call you Gene the Superfan. But we do appreciate that. And through the lens of unabashed presidential adoration, as you listened to President Trump on the stump last night at that huge rally, what one line or theme stuck with you? If there was one moment last night, what was the magic moment?
You know, I'll tell you, the magic moment is when he tells us that we are one family, and we do this together. Because our president never uses the word I. It's all we. So to hear that, to feel that love from him, that's why in return we give that back to him. And you know, and I mean, obviously, everything that he says is wonderful. But just to hear that and to understand that he's with us and he's walking side by side with us, that really is what touches my heart.
Well, I appreciate that. And I can understand your adoration, given the prism through which you view and hear him. But the other thing that strikes me when I watch the president, and I've said behind this microphone, in fact, I said it yesterday, he is the commander-in-chief, but he is the disruptor-in-chief. He took away what a lot of us who were in politics thought were boilerplate, standard ingredients or attributes one would need to win the highest office in the land, and he just completely turned that on its ear. And the other thing he does is a kind of stream of consciousness, almost comedy routine. Now, you know what I mean. He has the prompters now, but what's interesting is it's pretty obvious he doesn't read through a speech ahead of time. So he'll read something on the prompter and go, hey, I like that. Sounds pretty good. What last night, what riff, what joke did he tell? Anything like that you'd care to share?
I mean, our president, he makes us laugh nonstop. And it, I mean, really, he is so funny. I mean, there's so many different things, you know, when he's talking about, you know, Pocahontas and different, just so many different things. You know, I mean, it's so really hard to even think about anything in that way, just real quick.
Yeah, but it's
that,
just the general tone. Yeah, he's irreverent. Yeah. And sometimes, the story that The story is told that that when Ronald Reagan was elected president and Jimmy Carter conceded back east at like 8 o'clock, so it was between 5 and 6 o'clock Pacific time, and Reagan and Nancy go to Chasen's, and who's there but Don Rickles? And so President-elect Reagan says, "Hey, Don, insult me." And he says, "What do you mean? You're the president of the United States. I'm not going to call you a hockey puck or anything." But our president has a kind of Rickles-esque, streetwise manner. Instead of saying, "Oh, I respect my opponent and their public service," he's Sleepy Joe or whatever. I mean, he's always got something to say that makes the professional politician in me just sit back and roar with laughter because, man, how many times did I want to do that? But I always heard, "Look, you're a big guy and you're a passionate guy. And if you do that, people will think you're mean." So the president seems to do it in a way that it may offend some, but it's a pretty good routine. Did he leave them laughing last night?
Oh, forget it. Yes, laughing ain't the word. You know, here's one I just thought about now. I mean, he's talking about here I have 25,000 to 30,000 people, and Sleepy Joe, he puts on the microphone. He's got 8 people. You know, I mean, we were dying up laughing. And just real quick, let me tell you this: I did so many interviews yesterday. Okay, I was even on CNN, and let me tell you something: I brought the love out, and they showed it live on their program, and it was a wonderful segment. But let me just tell you this real quick. I used the word winning so many times in my interview. And 4 to 5 minutes before the president ended the rally, let me tell you something. You can watch this rally and look it up. He pointed 3 times. He says, "We're going to continue to keep winning." And then he pointed, "We're going to continue to keep winning." And then on the last 3rd winning, he went, "We're going to continue to keep winning." And straight at me, pointed at me, just like he did when he picked me up to come up on stage. And he looked right at me eye to eye. You know what that meant? He said, "Thank you." Because our president sees all these interviews. He saw superfan all over the place yesterday. And I'm so proud of that because...
You've turned in another winning performance. You have, Gene.
And that is it. Yes.
Gene the superfan. Yes. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you.
God bless you all.
Amen. What a nice way to cap off this particular hour. It's J.D. Hayworth for Todd Starnes on the Todd Starnes Show.